My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Well, our guy Justin was on Modern Day Debate on a topic that's right up his alley. Did Jesus fulfill any prophecies? And this is the most dishonest and pathetic performance I've ever seen in my life on the part of this guy. At no point did he even try to engage with the topic, except when Justin was cross-examining him. You know, I need to take just a brief moment to take credit for this. This cross-examination tactic, I'm not the person who invented it, but I'm seeing it more and more in the debatosphere where I exist. And I'm sorry, but I'm taking credit for it. I demanded that this happen with Kent Hovind, and I think everybody could kind of see how effective that was. And Breakfast Tacos told me, he admitted that he started doing that after I had my debate with Jim Bob on his platform, and he just said, yeah, it works so much better. It keeps everybody honest, and it keeps interruptions at a minimum. And now, I haven't spoken to Justin, but I do know that Justin requested cross-exam with James here on Modern Day Debate. So I won't take credit for that one specifically, but I'm starting to see it. I'm going to tell myself that I had a lot to do with this. So yay me. All right, let's get started.
Thank you, Justin, for being here. So tonight we are answering the question, did Jesus fulfill the messianic prophecies? Now, whenever you speak of prophecy, you are making metaphysical claims. If prophecy is divinely inspired, it presupposes a supernatural being with omniscience, which is itself a metaphysical assertion about the nature of God, his knowledge, and his interaction with creation.
So, does the supernatural exist is a metaphysical claim, but did prophecy get fulfilled? I believe that's an empirical claim. Addressing whether or not a prophecy was fulfilled doesn't require us making any commitment about the supernatural or anything like that, because we're not making claims about does the supernatural realm exist. A prophecy doesn't need to be supernatural in its fulfillment. I mean, Jesus riding in on two donkeys, there's no magic going on there. The metaphysical part of this would be asking questions like, well, are prophecies real? Are those real things that occur? I suppose the idea of can the future be foretold or foreknown? That's kind of a metaphysical claim, but I don't really think it is, because science is predicated on making predictions. But is a hypothesis a metaphysical claim? I don't think you could sell me on that.
If prophecy is divinely inspired, it presupposes a supernatural being with omniscience, which is itself a metaphysical assertion about the nature of God, his knowledge, and his interaction with creation. To affirm or deny this possibility is likewise a metaphysical claim. Metaphysics is a branch of philosophy.
Again, I really don't think so. I think we can approach the question of did prophecies be fulfilled from as empiricists, as Bayesians. Is it like the confidence interval with which we make the claim, did the prophecy get fulfilled? Again, I don't think that requires us to make any metaphysical, like take any metaphysical position or anything like that. We can just look at the evidence and see, is it how likely is it that it occurred? And then we can, in the colloquial, whatever sense, just make a judgment call on it. This seems like a very sophisticated way of doing the whole thing of, well, if you're going to say God doesn't exist, you presuppose that God does exist to deny him. Therefore, God exists.
It deals with the nature of reality. How we come to know what is real, i.e. metaphysically true, is called epistemology, another philosophical category. Metaphysics defines what exists. Epistemology defines how we know it. A debate about prophecy is inherently a debate about philosophy. The positive case that I am presenting tonight is that if you deny that Jesus is the Messiah, you deny the Christian worldview. If you deny the Christian worldview, you deny the very possibility of knowing.
Justin smirk when he realized where this is going here is so funny.
Anything. If we can't know
anything. Yep. If you deny the Christian worldview, then you can't know anything.
How can we know if...
I know that my worldview is correct because my worldview can't be incorrect.
Jesus is the Messiah. The preconditions of intelligibility, such as the laws of logic and the reliability of human cognition, must be in place for knowledge, reasoning, and communication to be possible.
Yes, and good thing we have Spanky to make that the case.
These foundational principles cannot be arbitrary or merely human conventions. As
correct, they are provided to us by Spanky and revealed to us through Zip Zop and Clip Clop.
They are necessary for coherent thought. These things are only justified by the Christian worldview.
No, Spanky revealed to all of us that the Christian worldview is false, but wicked people like Wi-Fi Gospel deny it.
Through the lens of Scripture and the normative authority of the Church, the existence of the Triune God, whose wrath...
That's hilarious. It's up to interpretation of people that died thousands of years ago to read the original texts, which we don't have, in a language that people like Wi-Fi Gospel can't even speak or read.
Rational nature, sovereign governance, and image-bearing creation... of humans provides the basis.
Yet this isn't me. I don't know why, but during this whole live stream, it was that you're going to see glitches like that.
For truth, logic, and knowledge itself. If the Christian worldview is true, we can know things. If the Christian worldview is true, we can know that Jesus is the Messiah.
Pretend that the argument is coherent. What does it prove other than the argument itself? Absolutely nothing, which is why I absolutely love posing the question, what could I do if I adopted your worldview other than affirm the worldview? And no presuppositionalist has ever given an answer to that question. The only times they do try, they just do what I said other than that, which means it is like literally worthless. It can't do anything. The argument proves nothing other than the argument itself.
On the other hand, if Justin's agnostic worldview is true, no one can know anything. Why?
No, you can't know anything because you don't know if a demon, which in our worldview, demons don't exist. We presuppose it. And then I'm just going to dishonestly say I know they don't exist based on my presupposition. But you can't know that because you can't know that you're not falling for the devil. Now, you have blind faith that you're not believing in the works of Satan, that were just done in a tricky way to get you to think it's God. But you pretend that you know it. Instead of saying, well, I just presuppose that that's not what's going on.
Just look at the laws of logic. Whatever Justin understands the laws of logic to be, how does he justify them? How does Justin's worldview account for the existence of these laws? If Justin can't ground the law of non-contradiction, then Justin can't tell me why I ought not contradict myself.
You can literally just say the law of non-contradiction is a presupposition, or the claim that, well, not exactly that way, but you can say the law of non-contradiction is grounded in the fact that it proves itself. It can't be false. If the law of non-contradiction is true, then it can't be false. Now, it's not like a strict logical proof. You can just call it a presupposition. But if there's nothing wrong with presupposing that. There's no contradiction, and there's no reduction to absurdity in that. Now, there's a funny thing, like, what do you do with a statement like, this statement is false? What do you do about a statement like that? You can't judge that statement to be true or false. It doesn't matter what you believe in the first place. It doesn't matter if you believe in God. It doesn't matter if you axiomatically or whatever hold that the law of non-contradiction is true, because you can't give a judgment on the statement, this statement is false. It doesn't matter what you say about it. If you say it's false, it's true. If you say it's true, then it's false.
In fact, Justin can't say that the New Testament contradicts the Old Testament. So when Justin inevitably takes us on a tour of the Bible and tries to give his bad interpretations looking for contradictions, remember, Justin can't even tell us why contradictions are a bad thing. What does Justin use in order to interpret the scripture?
You could literally just say, because of the law of non-contradiction, something cannot be true and false at the same time. Well, what do you ground that in? How do you know that? It's presupposed. Well, you can't just presuppose it. Oh, so I don't know. Like, the way that they don't, no presuppositionalist owns a mirror.
Scriptures. He has to rely on his senses and reasoning. In
the same way you do.
Christian worldview, human senses and reasoning were intentionally designed by a personal, rational, and orderly creator.
Yeah, you don't know that. You presuppose that. And you are made... The only way you can be made aware of the claim and make the claim is to use your senses. He gets asked this, and he doesn't even try to answer. He says, oh, I have hour-long videos on my channel where I go over how it doesn't actually work that way.
Because God created humans in his image, our cognitive faculties reflect his rational and logical nature. Human knowledge begins with God's self-disclosure, making sense perception and reasoning meaningful and trustworthy.
No, actually, Satan tricked you into believing that, and I know it because I presuppose it.
Because God designed humans specifically to know him and his creation.
Yeah, again, that's literally the word of Satan.
Under Justin's agnostic worldview, human senses and reasoning are products of random, non-directed physical processes. Without intentional design or purpose, cognitive faculties develop primarily for survival, not necessarily for discovering truth. Consequently, Justin's worldview struggles to justify why human cognitive faculties would be reliably geared toward accurate knowledge rather than merely survival advantages.
So in Wi-Fi's worldview, a God exists, and that's the rational grounding for all intelligibility and human rationality. However, people use this God-given gift to come to conclusions, theistic conclusions that, according to Wi-Fi gospel, are false. Judaism is not true. Islam is not true. No religion, except for whatever particular branch of Christianity he happens to believe in, is true. According to Wi-Fi gospel, Christianity isn't true. Certain types of Christianity are not true. So, no, this actually does not lead to the ability to, like, they act like we have the steps or a recipe for arriving at the truth, and it literally apparently almost never works, except for the particular branch of Christianity that he happens to believe in. What's really hilarious is when Saiten Bukake debated Matt Dillahunty, and then in the Q&A after Matt Dillahunty left for whatever reason, Bukake and this other guy, presuppositionalist, were up there, and the host got them to admit that they're in different denominations. So the host was like, wow, you two actually believe in two different gods. So the idea that this presuppositionalism is a recipe for arriving at the truth is literally obliterated by the fact that two presuppositionalists technically belong to two different religions and believe in two different gods. So I don't know what you do about that other than, again, just say, nah, mine is the correct one. Meanwhile, another presuppositionalist says, no, mine's the correct one. And you both followed all of the exact same steps. These people are so stupid, and there's no point in dealing with any of them.
Ultimately, it lacks a firm foundation for epistemic certainty, making trust in human senses arbitrary or uncertain. Justin rejects divine revelation, which leaves humans epistemologically isolated and autonomous. Humans are left relying purely on autonomous reason, sensory experiences, and subjective interpretations, all lacking an ultimate external reference point. Without revelation or a transcendental anchor, Justin will fail to justify why human senses and reasoning can reliably lead to objective truth.
Just do what Tacos does and says it's naturally revealed to you. Boom, no contradiction. They're just going to say, no, it has to be supernatural because they choose to define it to work that way. Well, I choose to define it that it works in a different way. Boom, roasted.
Inevitably leading to skepticism or arbitrary assumptions. Justin lacks the ability to give an external critique of the Christian worldview because his own worldview lacks the epistemic foundation for him to know anything, including if Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecies or not. Another thing that Justin's worldview lacks is the ability to tell us what is or isn't scripture. How do we even know what the scriptures are? What scriptures should we be using in order to determine whether or not Jesus actually fulfilled the messianic prophecies?
Well, Wi-Fi gospel doesn't know because he wasn't there when these events took place. He can't read the language that they were originally recorded in, and the original recordings do not exist anymore. So Wi-Fi gospel has no idea. He relies on, I was going to say tertiary claims, but it's far worse than tertiary claims. I don't know what it is when it's the 1,000th retelling of something and it's been translated into a different language. But that's what gospel has to rely on.
The same reasoning and method used to determine what the biblical canon is the same reasoning and method used to determine the actual interpretation of the content of the canon.
Personal preference.
Namely, the normative authority and historical continuity of the one holy and apostolic church.
Yeah, so personal preference.
Again, Justin's worldview lacks the epistemic foundation to know anything, including what the scriptures are and how to interpret them properly. The epistemic foundation of the Christian worldview is the only one that can account for the preconditions of intelligibility.
So all this does is allow you to be able to say, let's say the Old Testament says something as basic as the Messiah's favorite color will be blue. And in the New Testament, Jesus says, my favorite color is red. What this allows somebody like Wi-Fi to do is to just merely say, it's not a contradiction because, first of all, you don't have a grounding for even making claims about truth, so you can't know it, and you don't, we're just going to claim that you're interpreting it incorrectly. There you go. Nothing, literally nothing even can be a contradiction, according to presuppositionalists and a lot of other apologists.
That make knowledge possible. This worldview relies on the revelation of God through the church. The church gave us the scriptures, defined the canon, and provided the proper...
I'm going to interrupt and continue my thought. If this would be a great question to ask them, something as simple as what I said. What if it said the Messiah's favorite color will be blue and Jesus said his favorite color was red? The only response they would have is to not answer the question, but instead say, well, how do you account for knowledge or truth in your worldview?
Proper interpretation of said canon. They're inseparable. Now, if you just pick up the New Testament and read it, you will know that Jesus is the Messiah. The New Testament interprets the Old Testament. However, we must also look at the Old Testament and the interpretation of it in the New Testament through the normative authority of the church.
I don't plan on playing Justin's cross-examination of Wi-Fi, but it's really funny. You need to watch it. Because Wi-Fi, he deflects on so much and he just keeps saying, well, you're not going to like my answer, but I'm going to say that it was done spiritually instead of the way that the prophecy says that it needs to happen.
Normative.
I thought that people only used that, well, it happened in the spiritual sense thing for God saying to Adam and Eve, on this day you will die. I thought that was the only way that was used. And also I was aware that people said that the kingdom will be in heaven, even though the Old Testament clearly says that the new kingdom is supposed to be established here on earth. So that's like kind of in a spiritual sense, but he uses that multiple different times to refer to multiple different claims of things being fulfilled spiritually.
Authority refers to the power or right to make judgments about.
And is that what it says? Or is that the only option you're left with to fall back on? The infinitely shifting goalpost of, I can just say that the way it happened was in a realm that nobody has access to, so you can't prove that it's not true. I mean, this is it's no different than if you're in a court of law and you're trying to defend somebody who was accused of murder, and there's literally a 24-hour live stream of that person just laying in bed all day when the murder took place, and then one of the lawyers argues, look, Your Honor, science tells us that there could be multiple universes, and so an exact copy of this person accused exists in one of those multiple universes, and in one of those multiple universes, they did commit this murder. So therefore, they actually are guilty. It's not that different.
What is right, wrong, good, or bad? And to establish standards or rules that people should follow. It's the idea that certain standards or norms are binding and ought to be followed, such as interpretive principles. If you deny this, you have some major problems that you need to reconcile before you can even try to interpret the Old and New Testament. Basically, without a normative authority, the only answer you can give to the question, what is the canon, is...
Do these people think that arguments from authority aren't fallacious? I don't know. The only option would be for them to claim, it's not an argument from authority because these people are qualified to make this claim, but then you'd have to ask, how on earth do you know that? Because at least, with science or whatever, we can make that claim because we can currently validate the work that scientists do, and there's a peer review process. There's nothing like that for what for these authoritative claims for early church fathers.
It's whatever I want it to be. And the only way to answer the question, how are we supposed to interpret scripture, is I interpret it however I want to. In other words, just trust me, bro.
What is it that the church fathers do? It's literally just personal preference and how they interpret it. And we know that because of early church fathers that were excommunicated. I don't know if any of them were killed, but yeah, the excommunication, certain ones were deemed heretics and blasphemers. So no, apparently you can't be an early church father and arrive at the truth by looking through the revelatory nature of the scriptures, because it leads to contradictory worldviews. Just ask, what was his name, Arius?
Now let's recap here before the end of my time. What is the positive case for Jesus fulfilling the messianic prophecies? The Christian worldview is the only worldview that grounds the preconditions for intelligibility that make knowledge possible. In the Christian worldview, Jesus is the Messiah. How do we know this? The scripture is given by God and interpreted through the normative authority of the church tells us he is. If you...
Literally a circular argument. How do we know that it's true? Because the claims that it is true are true. And we're the only ones that can tell you if anything is true.
Deny this. Your worldview is reduced to absurdity. You remove the epistemic foundation to know anything.
Just because somebody rejects your claim doesn't mean that they fall into a contradiction. It means they don't believe what you believe.
Not only do you remove the epistemic foundation to know anything, you also have no reliable method of determining what is and what is not scripture. Finally, you will also have no ability to interpret the scripture apart from the church. You are dead in the water before the debate even starts. This is why you need to repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus. If you do not do this, there is no hope for you. The scriptures teach...
The way he was so unbothered by all of this throughout was actually hilarious. And he played... We'll see it. He played along with it. I would have said, I'm here to discuss prophecies about Jesus every time I was asked a question that didn't have anything to do with it. And major L's for James. There he is. For, like, there's one time where he interrupts Wi-Fi to say, let's make sure that we're on the topic. And Wi-Fi gives his reason for why all his nonsense is on topic, but it was a complete non-reason. And then he never, at no point ever did Wi-Fi discuss or quote a single word of the Bible during his cross-examination of Justin. So we'll skip to that part to wrap up here, although it will take a little while.
Justin, can you know anything to be true?
So if knowledge is justified true belief, then yeah.
Collect evidence to determine things that appear to be true. In my worldview, it's possible to know things with good certainty, but I would say all claims that are made by human beings are tentative claims.
So you don't know anything then?
No, I do, yeah.
That's not what he said.
So you don't have to have 100%.
This thing, the trick here is to try to get the person to say, if you don't absolutely know anything, then you can't know anything at all.
You don't have to have 100% certainty to know things.
Are you 100% certain about that?
Again, my claim actually contradicts that. My claim is that you don't have to be 100% certain to know things. So you can know things and even have a little bit of doubt.
That's not really an answer. So, but if you don't need 100%, what's the magic level of justification that you would need to know something?
I think it depends on the proposition. Like,
literally, even the presuppositionalist thinks this way in their everyday life. The Bible doesn't tell you whether or not outside your window right now Godzilla exists. But I can ask you if you believe that claim. And there's no contradiction in denying the claim that Godzilla is right out your window.
Like things that are more
likely. So it's arbitrary?
No, it's not arbitrary. So things that are more likely to be true, I think you need left as evidence for. So
yeah, what does more likely mean?
Things that have a higher probability.
Yeah, what percentage of probability would count as higher? 51%?
What?
75%?
75 is higher than 51. Congratulations.
Well, it depends on the proposition. So the proposition
arbitrary.
Is that... No, it's not arbitrary. It's a.
So
it's
why would it depend on the proposition to change the truth value of the claim?
It is like a tiny bit arbitrary in the sense that what is the exact percentage that we would pick? But again, everybody operates in their everyday life this way. There's also nothing wrong with saying there isn't a particular percentage, but if we have competing ideas and we do have the ability to establish which one is most likely to be true, then it is reasonable to assume that that claim is true, but we are open to any new evidence. There's no contradiction in any of this.
Just to be sure that Justin does get a chance to respond to that last question, go ahead, or comment mainly, when you said it is arbitrary, Justin, I think, had a response you wanted to give.
Yeah, I don't think it's arbitrary at all. I think it's dependent on, you know, relevant factors. So, for example, if I said that there's a plane outside of my house, I don't need a lot of evidence to demonstrate or to believe that there's a plane outside of my house. But if someone says that there are pigs flying outside of my house, then I would demand a much higher level of evidence for such a claim.
Yeah, I just want to make sure my time's not being wasted with these long answers. But you said believe there. If you don't need a lot of evidence to know that the plane is outside your house, is that what you were saying?
What I'm saying is I don't need a lot of evidence to believe in things that are likely to be true.
That's not what I asked. I asked what you knew to be true.
Knowledge is a type of belief.
Well, again, I would default to the idea that I don't think anyone can know anything beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt?
There's always a fraction that you could be wrong about something.
So again, do you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt?
If you say no, it's not a contradiction.
Again, the answer is no. I've already answered that twice.
Okay, so then you don't know.
Because no, you can know something without 100% certainty.
Okay. If you bought a Powerball ticket.
You don't have to know something 100% to know it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I'm going to show you. If you bought a Powerball ticket, what are your chances of winning?
Oh, I don't know. I think it depends.
Extremely small, right? Yeah, okay. Do you know that you're going to lose them?
No, there's always a possibility.
What was this attempt here that the odds of me winning are very slim? Oh, so you know you're going to lose? No. This, like, nothing Justin said is analogous to that claim. Nothing at all. This is just one of the weakest attempts I've ever seen to try to get somebody on something that they didn't say.
Even the slightest possibility that you could be wrong, you don't know it. Thank you for that. Let's move on. You said that you...
No, let's listen to that a little more in full.
Do you know that you're going to lose them?
No, there's always
if there's even the slightest possibility that you could be wrong, you don't know it. Thank you for that. Let's move on. You said that you...
If there's even the slightest possibility that you could be wrong, then you don't know it. So that has nothing to do. Justin never said anything in there that was any kind of aha or gotcha moment. But yeah, he's conflating knowledge with absolute certainty, which is not the same thing. And then he's basically putting words into Justin's mouth. Justin never said, because the odds are very low, therefore, I know I won't win. That's just so... He never said that.
You could...
I didn't say that at all.
Said. Why can't you know that you have a losing ticket?
Because you don't know all the variables.
Because there's the slightest possibility that you could have a winning ticket, right?
There's a slight possibility you can have either one.
Well, no, there's actually a great possibility.
Which means you can't actually know.
Wow.
You can't actually know.
Do you see the contradiction that you're in right now?
No, I should not. See, you can't know things beyond a shadow of a doubt because you can't know all things.
All right, so you can't know anything then, is my claim. Because you just said that in the case...
Oh, I disagree.
Well, in the case of a Powerball ticket where you have an extremely small chance of winning, that you could be wrong about a losing ticket, then you don't actually know it. But everything else, you say, oh, well, even if there's an extremely small chance that I could be wrong, I could still know something.
But who would ever claim that they know they have a losing ticket?
Oh, okay. It's a really terrible analogy, but I finally get it. So all that really just to conflate absolute certainty with knowledge, which they're not the same thing.
Exactly.
I would never.
That's exactly
claim.
My point. If you, there's even the
because
slightest
you
possibility,
can't know it.
You're proving my point, but you don't seem to get it. So let's move on.
All that to just tell on yourself. It is the most dishonest possible position you can take to say it's not possible that I'm wrong. But that's what the entire... That's what the whole thing hinges upon. We saw this with my video on the gaslighting pre-sup from the other day.
Now, you said that you can collect evidence to know things to be true. Is that correct?
I think you can collect evidence to build a case that things are true.
Okay. Now, when you collect evidence and you build this case, are you using your senses and reasoning to do so?
The same way you do when you claim to have divine inspiration and revelation, yes.
Yeah, that's all you have.
Okay. How do you know that your senses are reliable?
Well, sometimes they're not. We demonstrated that.
You compare them with other beings that are having subjective experiences.
It's quite a bit through psychology studies. Sometimes your senses are not reliable, but when you compare my sense data to other people's sense data and it seems to agree, then you're building a case that your sense data is providing accurate information.
Good. When you compare that sense data and you look at...
So when Wi-Fi Gospel compares his interpretation of Scripture with Church Fathers' subjective interpretations of Scripture, that's how he builds the case that his worldview is true. But no, don't other people ever do that. No, no, no.
The comparison. What are you using to look at that comparison?
The same thing you do when you interpret Scripture.
Other people's data.
You use other people's data to look at data? That doesn't make
sense.
Yeah,
so like if I went outside and said there's five fire hydrants.
I don't think you understood, or maybe you missed it. I asked you how you know your senses are reliable. You said you compare it to other people. But then I asked you, when you compare the data for your senses and somebody else's senses, what are you using to look at that comparison?
Both of us are using our brains, which is all we have to use.
Your senses, right?
Well, your brain is not a sense.
Well, all right, but you don't look at things with your brain. You look at things with your eyes, right?
Yeah, your eyes provide the sense data.
Eyes are really actually just kind of an outgrowth of the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. So I asked you how you know that your senses are reliable, and you said...
I never said they were.
Okay, so if you don't know that your senses are reliable... And
you can presuppose that they are. There's nothing wrong with that, but we validate that. People say, like, how do you justify that or prove it? I prefer to say, because presuppositions by definition aren't, but I prefer to say that they are recursive, or that they're demonstrably effective because of the ability to produce reliable, consistent results. And if your subjective experience can't do that, then something about your mode of operation is wrong. If you're doing science, then your experimental setup is wrong. If you're doing math, then maybe you forgot to switch the calculator from degrees to radians mode. Or maybe you're just schizophrenic or something.
Can't justify that to any degree. How can you know things to be true based on your senses?
I can. So let me reiterate. When I compare like my sense data, if I go outside and say, I see five fire hydrants outside, and then 100 other people go outside and say, yeah, I see the same five fire hydrants. It's a pretty good cumulative case that there are five fire hydrants outside. Now, it might be true that one person walks outside and says, hey, I see four. Well, their sense data might be wrong.
Okay, and the reason I keep interrupting you is because you're going on these long tangents about things that are completely irrelevant that I've already showed you are wrong.
That's such not a long tangent.
For example, you have to use your senses. Is it not true? You have to use your senses in order to even understand what these other people are saying about their senses.
The same way you do when reading and interpreting Scripture, or even if you claim that it's just directly, I don't know, Bluetoothed to you via God, that would still be you using your senses.
Oh, yeah, you have to use your senses to interact with the world.
Okay, so you can use your senses to justify the reliability of your senses?
You have to use your senses in combination with other people's data and other things in the real world.
Yeah, but you'd just be using your senses, but there's literally no problem with this.
World, like, so, for example, if I say...
There is no other way that human beings interact with the world.
Getting it. That data has to come through your senses in order for you to understand them.
Yeah, again, there is no other way that humans interact with the world.
You can't
even if you presuppose a magical realm exists, which you do, you cannot interact with it in any other way except through sense experience.
Is that data?
You can.
All right, so you're okay with circular reasoning then?
No, I presuppose that I exist and that my brain processes things.
Okay, so can we...
You could say that is circular reasoning. Like, you reach epistemological circularity, but... at some point, or you can just say, no, I presuppose it. I don't know. The way I understand it, you're kind of saying the same thing when you make each of those cases.
We presuppose things without justification.
That's what you do all the time. You're doing it in this debate.
That's what presuppositions are.
That's not answering the question.
Your religion is a presuppo-
This is my time. Let me actually answer the question. Can we presuppose things without justification?
That's what presuppositions are.
I think there are some cases, yeah.
Okay, so God is, Jesus is the Messiah. It's my presupposition, and there's no justification for it. What problem do you have with that?
Well, my problem...
It's internally contradictory.
...is that it's a claim that is unlikely to be true, and because there's data that contradicts it.
But I don't need to justify it. You just said I don't need to, right?
Just because you don't need...
That's not even what... It's not what justify means in this case.
Need to justify to make it true.
Okay, so then you can't say that. You presuppose that you exist, and that justifies your existence, right?
Okay.
I presuppose that circles are squares. Well, I mean, by definition, they can't be. Yeah, but I presuppose that they are, so you can't tell me that I'm wrong. That's not what we mean by they're not justified.
Do you think I exist?
It's not your turn to ask questions, and that's not my question. I asked you a specific question. Would you like me to repeat it?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you can't just presuppose things without justification to say that they're true, then you can't presuppose your existence to say that you exist, correct?
Well, I didn't say that you should presuppose things to be that they're true.
All right.
Your question was whether or not you can presuppose things.
It's okay. We can move on.
Without justification.
I do. I know that you want to take... Give me one second to... Thank you. I know that you want to do a presuppositional approach tonight with Wi-Fi in terms of the epistemology of, like, how do we know what we know if we're going to make any claims about whether or not Jesus fulfilled the messianic prophecy. I do want to give you a chance if you could just briefly tie some of this back just so that the arguments are...
I don't understand why James is letting him do this. If you could briefly tie it back, no. Quit this shit and get on with the topic of the debate. I really don't get why he let him do this.
Clearer to the audience, because this is like the alternative approach to addressing this question rather than Justin who plans on taking
it. All right, I can do something for you. Yeah, and Justin can totally do that in his cross-examination, and I will freely answer all of his questions.
I'm asking you to do it right now.
Yeah. Okay, so the reason I'm taking this approach is because... And I don't want to go on a monologue here, but I'm not sure how to do that for you.
Just in 30 seconds, the way that I said as an example.
So in my opening, I'm just pulling up my opening here. Justin, when you talk about prophecy, are you making metaphysical claims?
No, I'm just using dictionary definitions of what words actually mean. And I think that the dictionary defines the word prophecy pretty well.
Okay. Is a prophecy a supernatural thing?
It can be, doesn't have to be.
Okay, is that not a metaphysical claim?
No.
So saying if something is or isn't supernatural is not a metaphysical claim.
So that is a metaphysical claim specifically, but I like the way he kind of morphed this bit by bit, so I probably would have fallen into perhaps saying no on this as well.
I didn't say that. Well, I said a prophecy can be...
Yeah, I don't know what happened. This is, again, it got muted. James must have been telling him to try to get back on topic.
Sorry, I misunderstood you there.
There we go.
So basically what I'm trying to do here is when we speak of prophecy, we're making what's called metaphysical claims. Metaphysics is the study, what we know to...
Again, I already went over this, but I don't think there would be any problem in rejecting that. Did a prophecy occur, I think can be... just an epistemic claim, because we don't have to, again, grant anything about natural versus supernatural or anything like that. It's just whether or not this event occurred.
To exist. What is true about reality? And the reason I'm so hard on philosophy is I believe that you don't need to know exactly how Jesus fulfills the prophecies in order to know that he did, because knowledge is an epistemic claim. And epistemology is just the study of how we know what is real, or, like I said about metaphysics, how do we know our metaphysics? So I know I'm using a bit of jargon some people may not be familiar with, but when we say, I know Jesus.
I don't need to know how Jesus did it in order to know that it occurred. You can literally just proclaim that it happened because it can't be justified.
This is the Messiah, or I know that Jesus is not the Messiah. It's a very philosophical epistemic claim, which ties back into the metaphysics part, and that's in my best 20 seconds to show of that I'm actually very much on topic here.
No, you're not. There's really nothing more of any value that we're going to get from that. Please do watch Justin's cross-examination of the guy. It's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Justin's on YouTube too. You have seen me working with him a lot lately. And I'm very glad for that. And so is Justin. We make a pretty good team. You'll actually see Justin and I tomorrow in a little debate that we did, assuming that I upload that video tomorrow. Thanks for watching.